This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Hospital Radio for Northumberland and North Tyneside. Today is Remembrance Sunday, when formal services will be held all over the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland to commemorate the contribution of British and Commonwealth military and civilian service men and women in all conflicts since the start of the First World War. But let us today remember not only our own victims of conflicts, but also the countless billions of people, soldiers and civilians, from countries all over the world who suffered untold horrors and unimaginable cruelty as a result of war. We owe it to those who are no longer around to tell their story. I recently bought a large and very detailed book in an Oxfam shop, simply entitled War. It outlines every conflict of the world from ancient Egypt to modern-day Iraq. It explains how each war began, what went before, what came after, how many lives were lost, and so on. And it struck me forcibly that there are no winners in war. Apart from those who make weapons and profit from them, each side suffers such great pain and loss. One particular song from the 60s, sung by Bob Dylan, challenged the notion that God takes sides where war is concerned. Is war not something that God abhors? Dylan's mention of one push of a button has become something of a possibility in today's world, where some leaders seem rather unstable in their thinking and quite impulsive in the decisions they do make. But each side will claim they are in the right. Here's Dylan's song, With God on Our Side.
Oh, my name, it ain't nothing. My age means less. The country I come from is called the Midwest. I was taught and brought up there, the laws to abide, and that the land that I live in has God on its side. Ah, the history books tell it, they tell it so well. The cavalry's charged, the Indians fell. The cavalry's charged, the Indians died. Ah, the country was young with God on its side. The Spanish-American War had its day, and the Civil War too was soon laid away, and the names of the heroes I was made to memorize, with guns in their hands and God on their side. First World War, boys, it closed at its fate. The reason for fighting it, I never got straight. But I learned to accept it with pride. For you don't count the dead when God's on your side. World War, it came to an end. We forgave the Germans and then we were friends. Though they murdered 6 million in the ovens they fried, the Germans now too have God on their side. I've learned to hate Russians all through my whole life. If another war comes, it's them we must fight. To hate them and fear them, to run and to hide, and accept it all bravely with God on my side. But now we got weapons of chemical dust. If fire them we're forced to, then fire them we must. One push of the button and it shot the world wide, and you never ask questions when God's on your side.
There are those who believe that war is necessary in a world where pure evil reigns. For example, if Hitler had not been halted in his tracks, how many more millions would have suffered at his hands as he tried to achieve his goal? So they argue today that a just war and nuclear deterrence are absolutely necessary to overcome evil, and loved ones must be defended. I hear that argument, but what a precarious and ungodly way to live our lives under these shadows. So often religion gets the blame for war, but when we actually examine the causes of war, we see it's caused by sin, the sin of greed, ambition, intolerance, pride and injustice. It's worth looking at what Jesus taught his followers. Did he recommend war? No, he didn't. In Luke 6, verse 27, this is what Jesus taught. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. An American general, Omar Bradley, one of the leading figures in World War II, is known to have said, "Ours is a world of nuclear giants and ethical infants. We know more about war than living. We have grasped the mystery of the atom and rejected the Sermon on the Mount." Let's listen to Johnny Cash's version of "Last Night I Had the Strangest Dream."
Last night I had the strangest dream I've ever known before. I dreamed that all the world agreed to put an end to war. I dreamed I saw a mighty room. The room was filled with men, and the papers they were signing said they'd never fight again. And when the paper was all signed and a million copies made, they all joined hands and bowed their heads, and grateful prayers were prayed. The people in the streets below were dancing round and round, while swords and guns and uniforms scattered to the ground.
Was Jesus being unrealistic with these demands, or simply teaching his own followers the higher way of peace and harmony that puts an end to conflict before it has got a chance to get a grip and hurtle out of control? He led by example. He invited his followers to do so too. Some ask, why doesn't God put a stop to the madness of war then? Reverend Michael Bourne once put it like this: we either have a world of total control or a world where humans are given freedom. The fact that free will can be so abused, as well as so wonderfully used, is part of the consequence. But isn't it strange how God always gets the blame for our sin? Can't we see that He is, according to Psalm 46, our refuge and our strength in times of trouble? Here's a lovely hymn which says all of those things by Hillsong. It's called Oceans.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand.
A story on Facebook caught my eye just yesterday. A police officer in America stopped a car on a motorway. He had seen from the bumper sticker that the man was a war veteran and wanted to thank him. The driver thought he'd been stopped because of his speed. The officer asked him where he had served, and the driver told him that he'd just returned from Iraq. The police officer opened his heart up to him and revealed that his son had served there too, but had died out there. Then the officer made a request. He said, "Do you mind stepping out of your car and receiving a hug? You remind me so much of my son. I pulled you over. I thought you were him. I still don't believe it most days that he's gone." The driver, who incidentally was just returning from a post-traumatic stress disorder course, got out, and they both held each other for some time, sobbing. It seems that this was just what he was in need of too. How painful for parents to lose any child as a result of war. This next hymn by Graham Kendrick begs God to restore us, forgive us, and bring wholeness to our world. It's called Restore, O Lord.
Restore, O Lord, the honor of your name. In works of sovereign power, come shake the earth again, that all kingdom fame, and in our time revive the church that bears your name. In your anger, Lord, remember mercy, O living God, whose mercy shall outlast the years. And us, O Lord, where we are hard and cold, in your of sovereign power, come shake the earth again, that all may see and come with reverent fear to the living God, whose kingdom shall outlast the
I don't know if you've heard of a singer called Lorena McKennitt. She sings a very haunting song called Dante's Prayer, which I first heard as background to a video tribute to soldiers who'd lost their lives in these most recent wars. You can't help but thinking to yourself as you look at the faces of these young lads on video, what a tragic, senseless waste of life. Why? Life is so very precious. We think particularly of all families today whose minds are numb with the pain of their loss. Shall we offer up our prayers to God? Heavenly Father, we remember today all those who've greatly suffered and for those who've died as a result of conflicts all over the world. We think of the many innocent civilians caught up in conflict who've been driven to despair, fleeing for their lives, living each day in constant danger and in terrible conditions. We remember victims of the Holocaust and for all victims of ethnic cleansing. We remember the maimed and disfigured and those whose everyday existence is marred by painful memories and flashbacks of terror. We pray for those who find it hard to grasp life again and for those consumed by guilt or fear. Let us remember today those whose faith has been sorely tested as a result of war, and for those whose faith in God has been completely destroyed. Restore them, O Lord. Let us also remember to pray for our enemies, because Jesus invited us to do so. Let's remember that every single person who suffers or dies as a result of war is someone's precious child, husband, or father. Let us bear in mind that in some countries we are the tyrants, the ones their families are afraid of. Today we also pray for our world leaders, that they might be given godly wisdom, integrity and humility, and also greater care as they communicate with other world leaders who wield great power in the world. Today we also pray for peacekeeping forces, and all who work to put an end to tensions and divisions, restoring peace and calm to streets and cities across the world, caring that people may go about their lives in safety. Let us pray that justice may prevail throughout the world. Heavenly Father, bring your peace to our world. In Jesus' name we pray.
Before me and all all the paths were overgrown. When the priest of pride say there is no other way, I tilled the sorrows of stone. I did not believe because I could not see, though you came to me in the night. When the dawn seemed forever lost, you showed me your love in the light of the stars. Cast your eyes on the ocean, cast your soul to the sea, where my dark night seems endless. Please remember me. When the mountain rose before me, by the deep well of desire, from the fountain of forgiveness, beyond the ice and the fire. Cast your eyes on the ocean, cast your soul to the sea, when the dark night seems endless. Please remember me.
Way back in World War I, not even the most seasoned serviceman was prepared for the scale of carnage that unfolded before him. For many, the horror proved too much. Hundreds were unable to cope with the constant bombardment, the slaughter, the unsanitary conditions of the trenches, the lice, the constant fear of death, the threat of gas, the diseases, and the cold. So many more efficient and sophisticated weapons have been developed since then, which make today's so-called theatre of war even more terrifying. World War poets have given us such a lot to think about in their writings, and here is one which I set to music. It was written by Siegfried Sassoon, and it's called Suicide in the Trenches. In it, he thinks of a young and tender soul who was caught up in the fury of battle and so unprepared for the hell that would follow.
I knew a simple soldier boy who grinned at life in empty joy, slept soundly through the lonesome dark and whistled early with the lark, and whistled early with the cowed and glum, with crumbs and lice and black of rum, he put a bullet through his brain. No one spoke of him again. No one spoke of him again. Smug-faced crowds with kindling eye, who cheer when soldier lads march by, sneak home and pray you'll never know the hell where youth and laughter go, the hell where youth and laughter go.
I don't often read poetry out on radio, but here's part of a poem called For the Fallen by Lawrence Binion. It's our tribute today to all casualties of war, regardless of state. They went with songs to the battle. They were young, straight of limb, true of eye, steady and aglow. They were staunch to the end against odds uncounted. They fell with their faces to the foe. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. They mingle not with their laughing comrades again. They sit no more at familiar tables of home. They have no lot in our labour of the daytime. They sleep beyond England's foam. Let us listen to one last hymn, praying that God will not desert us or give up hope in us as a human race, that he'll be our hope and our shelter for years to come. Here is, O God, our help in ages past, which comes to us from Westminster Abbey's choir and congregation. And thank you for joining me this morning, everyone. Have a good week. Bye for now.